In our last study, we came to chapter 9 of Proverbs and did the first paragraph. This is the section where we're told that wisdom has builded her splendid house. And this is just personifying wisdom now. And she's killed her beast, she's fixed us good meat, and prepared a wonderful party, and then she invites people to come. Come eat of my bread. In other words, wisdom invites people to follow her ways and to enjoy what she provides. But by way of contrast, he that reproves a scorner, a mocker, gets to himself a smart answer. He gets to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man gets to himself a blot. That's old English. We'd say an insult. Reprove not a scorner. He'll just hate you. Verse 8 of Proverbs 9. You get this mocker, this scorner, this person who isn't serious about life. Tell him he's doing wrong and he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll be glad he's learned something. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Godly people ought to always be open to learn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In some ways, this is the theme idea. We've had the verse before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To reverence God, to stand in awe of God's greatness, to focus our attention and our worship on God. Here's where wisdom begins. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Real wisdom begins in godly understanding and relationship to God, not with man's speculations. And then it says, for by me, this is wisdom talking now, by me thy days shall be multiplied. The wise man, other things being equal, will live. The years of thy life shall be increased. And I think that's the real point of it. That the person who receives wisdom, welcomes wisdom, gains wisdom. We're told in the New Testament that if we lack wisdom, we're to ask of God, and he gives liberally. And so this says, by me, by wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, thy years increased. Now, this doesn't mean now that wise people don't get sick or something like that. But here's the principle, that this tends to lengthen life. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If thou scornest, if you are that kind of person, thou alone shall bear it. There are personal consequences to both sides of this. Then verse 13 of chapter 9, a foolish woman is clamorous. She's noisy. She is simple. And we'd say uninformed. Knoweth nothing is the phrasing here in verse 13. You see, this is the foolish woman contrasted with wisdom. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city where she can call down to people. And then she says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she says, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. The word translated waters in verse 17 may very well mean melons. Stolen melons are sweet, this wicked woman says. And he's back to one of his themes, and that's the wicked woman and how she's to be avoided. And she's saying, hey, come on to my house. Stolen waters are sweet, or stolen melons taste so good. bread eaten in secret is pleasant. This bread that you got the wrong way will taste good. He knoweth not that the dead are there in her house, that this is where death not just starts, but where it is carried out, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Here's the warning against the foolish woman, she's called, and the instruction that we are to follow wisdom. Now, in chapter 10, it says, has the heading, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. And all the parents, I expect, will understand this. When our children succeed and live wisely and godly, it rejoices our hearts. It's just that way still. What a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. When the boy doesn't live right, when he doesn't do right, when he doesn't follow wisdom, his mother is going to be greatly grieved. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The person who gets his treasure by stealing or some other wicked manner, they don't profit him anything. Righteousness delivers from death, is the contrast. Righteousness delivers from death and destruction. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. God will not let him go hungry or in need, something like that. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. God, in his providence now, casts away the possessions of the wicked. He becomes poor that dealeth with a slack hand. We'd say a lazy man. The man who deals with a slack hand is just, he may be going through the motions of working. And this says he becomes poor that really doesn't put his heart into his work. The hand of the diligent, the hand of the hard worker, we'd say, maketh rich. The man who really works at his farm or whatever it is going to accomplish so much more than the person who's just too lazy to work. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. He that gathereth in summer now, wheat cutting time, grain gathering season, they had to prepare food for the winter while it was still summer. And it says, he that gathereth in summer, he's a wise son. He's got the whole picture together. And he that sleepeth in harvest, the man who's just sleeping, just loafing all day, it's harvest time and the grain hadn't been cut, he's a son that causeth shame. He's going to be out of food the second week or something like that of winter. Blessings are upon the head of the just, the righteous, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The wicked just talk wrong way. The memory of the just is blessed. Memory of this just, honest, righteous man is blessed. It's a good thing. The name of the wicked shall rot. It's offensive. And the wise in heart will receive commandments. The wise in heart will receive the commandments. The commandments of God, this is talking about, I think, in this context. The wise in heart, the folks who are really wise, receive God's commandments and receive them in the sense of keeping them. But a chattering fool, the old English says prating, and that means just talking. The Hebrew says a fool of lips. He just talks. He's going to fall. He won't have anything but the consequences of his wickedness. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. There's a certainty about it. He that perverts his ways shall be known. He'll be caught. He'll be found out. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. Now, this is a thing we don't use in that way anymore, but you have it good many times in Proverbs. Winking with the eye to notify somebody that there isn't any truth to what I'm saying. I'm just making this up or something of that nature. And then it says, he that winketh with his eye causes sorrow. But a chattering fool, here's his word again, prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, let's be sure we follow this. The mouth of a righteous man, what he's going to say, what he's going to teach, what he's going to preach, what he's going to counsel. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. It's like a spring, and life flows from it. The supreme illustration of that would be, of course, the Gospels, where we have the teaching of Christ and the teaching of the Apostle Paul or somebody like that. But this says the mouth of a righteous man is a well or a spring of life. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. That's what he's going to talk about. Hatred stirs up strife. When folks hate each other, before you know it, they get in a fight. Love covereth all sins. When you really love somebody, you don't make a point of going around telling everybody about it. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. The person who really has understanding, he's going to speak wisdom. Wisdom and understanding are so close to the same thing. And the man's going to speak wisdom who really has understanding. A rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. He's going to be beaten. He's going to end up in trouble. Verse 14 of chapter 10, wise men lay up knowledge. Wise men learn, and then they remember what they've learned. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The wise man just stores up knowledge, and the fool is going to tell everything he knows. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's what he trusts in. The rich man's wealth is his defense. The destruction of the poor is their poverty, and poverty can bring destruction to the poor. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. What the righteous man produces, it leads to life. And what the wicked man produces, the fruit of the wicked, is going to be sin, and sin's consequences, of course. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. The person who hides his hatred just by lying, and the person who is slanderous, who's talking against folks when it isn't necessary, he's a fool. He's not very smart. In a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In a whole lot of talk, the multitude of words, and I think it follows verse 18, these foolish words, slanderous words, well, sin is there. The people that talk about all these bad things of their neighbors, that's not because they have a godly heart. He that refraineth his lips is wise. Some things better just not spread around the community. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The tongue now of the just or the righteous, it's something valuable and something beautiful. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The heart of the wicked isn't really worth anything much. And then the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The lips of the righteous, now what he says, what he teaches, They feed many. And this is to go on in church and in Sunday school and at prayer meeting. Not while you're praying, but don't you read the Bible and talk about it at prayer meeting? Hope you do. The lips of the righteous feed many. Fools die for want of wisdom every day. There are folks whose lives have just been snuffed out because they didn't do the wise thing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. God's blessing upon people brings riches, riches in material things, riches in knowledge, riches in experience and in life. And it is as a sport to a fool to do mischief. It's fun. It's enjoyment. It's the old English word sport. Yeah, it's a sport to a fool to do mischief. Verse 23 of chapter 10. But a man of understanding has wisdom, and he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't just make a game out of something that's evil. Incidentally, this old English word mischief now doesn't mean what the little child gets into. It means the wrong conduct of the grown folks here. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. What the wicked man fears very often comes upon him. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. If we are rightly related to the Lord, then it says he'll give us the desires of our heart. And this says the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The fear of the wicked, what he fears, very often comes upon him. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. The wicked can be blown away like something that's picked up by a whirlwind. The righteous is an everlasting foundation. The righteous are permanent, because whether they live or die, they are the Lord's. Then he's back in verse 26 to one of his favorite topics, Solomon. And he says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now, this is not our kind of vinegar. And evidently the vinegar they made sometimes had made your teeth feel sharp, and it gave you an unpleasant taste if you just drank it the way it was. You could use a little of it for seasoning and all that. And as smoke to the eyes. You know, when you have a wood stove and the wind blows the wrong way or something, and smoke begins to come out, and you're trying to get the stove shut a little tighter, the smoke gets in your eyes, it just hurts. So is the sluggard, the lazy man, to them that send him. You send this lazy man on an errand, and it's just like smoke in your eyes. It'll worry the life out of you. And he's back to talk about this lazy man, and he'll do it again. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The right, reverent worship of God. Understanding of God's greatness and majesty. And the Hebrews just said the fear of the Lord. That prolongs days. Because a man who fears the Lord is going to do the right thing. He's going to eat the right thing. He's going to live the right way. The years of the wicked shall be shortened. The years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The hope of the righteous, oh, this will something make him happy. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. The wicked can't accomplish what he wants to accomplish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. God's way is strength to the upright. Destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Now, that same thing all over again. Destruction comes to the evil. And destruction may mean loss of life, or it may mean some other crushing blow. The righteous shall never be removed. The wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The righteous have a permanence that grows out of their relationship to God. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. The mouth of the just, we'd say speaks wisdom. And we ought to be concerned that that's true of us, that the parents of little children speak what's wise. The froward tongue shall be cut out. The opposite now, the mouth that brings forth foolishness, it'll come to nothing. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable or helpful. The lips of the righteous, what they speak, these folks know what'll be helpful. The mouth of the wicked speaks the opposite, frowardness, rebellion, or something like that. Then chapter 11 just continues the same pattern of teaching. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. A just weight is his delight. We'd simply say crooked scales. The false balance, it weighs out 10 pounds or something, but if you'd really find out what it weighs, it's 9 pounds, 7 ounces or something like that. And it says this false balance, this deceitful balance, is an abomination to the Lord. God hates that. It's a form of stealing. A just weight is his delight. Now, they had weights for everything. They still had them in drugstores, in my memory. You weighed out these drugs when you wanted to be very precise on a perfect balance, and you put so many ounces or whatever, and you had a weight that was exactly the weight of what you wanted. And then you got the scales to balance. And it says, a just weight, honest weight, is God's delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When people get too proud of what they are and what they have and what they're doing, then shame comes. We're human. But with the lowly is wisdom. The humble folks are wise. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Their principles of life are going to guide the upright, the godly people. And then it says, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The perverseness, the confused pattern of transgressors, sinners, it's going to lead to destruction. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. In the day of judgment, it won't matter whether you had $10,000 saved up or $1 million, or simply 10 cents. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. The righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivers. And certainly that's true in the Christian teaching. The righteousness of Christ delivers from death. The righteousness of the perfect, we'd say the mature, shall direct his way. The righteous character of this wise man, or mature person, directs his way, guides his path of life. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The wicked, sooner or later, come to the place where their own wickedness brings them to destruction. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. Deliver them in times of false accusation, in other troublesome times. The transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. The wicked will be taken in their own sinful conduct. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Let's don't miss this, because this tells us about two ways of life. This wicked man dies, and everything he'd ever hoped for is gone, because he belonged to the now generation. The Christian is to look forward to God's tomorrow, and when he dies, he's going to have so much more. It says the hope of the unjust men perish it. when this wicked man, this unjust man dies, that's all there is. Except judgment, of course. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. I think that means the wicked fall into trouble. The righteous, he's delivered out of trouble. God does it that way. And the wicked falls into trouble. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Now, here's something that we need to have in our thinking. The hypocrite, the person who's really playing Christianity, that's what the word hypocrite, it's a Greek word really, what it means, an actor wearing a mask. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, telling all kinds of tales on the neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Through getting the truth out, the just will be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, they're shouting. There were some folks in that day so wicked that when something happened to them, the city was just happy. But folks in the same city rejoice when everything goes well with the righteous. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, lifted up. It's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that's void of wisdom despises his neighbor, looks down on his neighbor. A man of understanding holds his peace. In other words, this man void of wisdom talks too much about his neighbor, and that's how he expresses his despising of him. Man of understanding keeps quiet. Here in this book of Proverbs, we have the idea that wisdom is basic to right conduct. That wisdom is basic to doing anything right. May God give us wisdom for our daily lives.